Testimony 15, Chapter 1, Introduction.
My brethren and sisters will hardly expect this number of my testimonies so soon, but I had many personal testimonies on hand, some of which are given in the following pages. And I know of no better way to present my views of general dangers and errors, and the duty of all who love God and keep His commandments, than by giving these testimonies. Perhaps there is no more direct and forcible way of presenting what the Lord has shown me. It seemed important that number 14 should reach you several days before the General Conference. Therefore, that number was hastened through the press before I could find time to prepare important matter designed for it. In fact, there was not room for this matter in number 14. Therefore, having on hand matter sufficient for number 15, I present it to you with the prayer that the blessing of God will attend it for the good of His dear people.
Chapter 2, Sketch of Experience.
From February 7, 1868, to May 20, 1868. After we had reached our home and ceased to feel the inspiring influence of journeying and laboring, we felt most sensibly the wearing labors of our Eastern tour. Many were urging me by letters to write what I had related to them of what the Lord had shown me concerning them. And there were many others to whom I had not spoken, whose cases were as important and urgent. But in my weary condition, the task of so much writing seemed more than I could endure. A feeling of discouragement came over me, and I sank into a feeble state and remained so several days, frequently fainting. In this state of body and mind, I called in question my duty to write so much, to so many persons, some of them very unworthy. It seemed to me that there was certainly a mistake in this matter somewhere. On the evening of February 5, Brother Andrews spoke to the people in our house of worship. But most of that evening, I was in a fainting, breathless condition, supported by my husband. When Brother Andrews returned from the meeting, they had a special season of prayer for me, and I found some relief. That night I slept well, and in the morning, though feeble, felt wonderfully relieved and encouraged. I had dreamed that a person brought me to a web of white cloth and bade me cut it into garments for persons of all sizes and all descriptions of character and circumstances in life. I was told to cut them out and hang them up all ready to be made when called for. I had the impression that many for whom I was required to cut garments were unworthy. I inquired if that was the last piece of cloth I should have to cut, and was told that it was not, that as soon as I had finished this one, there were others for me to take hold of. I felt discouraged at the amount of work before me, and stated that I had been engaged in cutting garments for others for more than 20 years, and my labors had not been appreciated. Neither did I see that my work had accomplished much good. I spoke to the person who brought the cloth to me, of one woman in particular, for whom he had told me to cut a garment. I stated that she would not prize the garment, and that it would be a loss of time and material to present it to her. She was very poor, of inferior intellect, and untidy in her habits, and would soon soil it. The person replied, "Cut out the garments. That is your duty. The loss is not yours, but mine. God sees not as man sees. He lays out the work that He would have done, and you do not know which will prosper, this or that. It will be found that many such poor souls will go into the kingdom, while others, who are favored with all the blessings of life, having good intellects and pleasant surroundings, giving them all the advantages of improvement, will be left out. It will be seen that these poor souls have lived up to the feeble light which they had, and have improved by the limited means within their reach, and lived much more acceptably than some others who have enjoyed full light and ample means for improvement." I then held up my hands, calloused as they were with long use of the shears, and stated that I could but shrink at the thought of pursuing this kind of labor. The person again repeated, "Cut out the garments. Your release has not yet come." With feelings of great weariness, I rose to engage in the work. Before me lay new polished shears, which I commenced using. At once my feelings of weariness and discouragement left me. The shears seemed to cut with hardly an effort on my part, and I cut out garment after garment with comparative ease. With the encouragement which this dream gave me, I at once decided to accompany my husband and brother Andrews to Gratiot, Saginaw, and Tuscola counties, and trust in the Lord to give me strength to labor. So, on the 7th of February, we left home and rode 55 miles to our appointment at Alma. Here, I labored as usual, with a comfortable degree of freedom and strength. The friends in Gratiot County seemed interested to hear, but many of them are far behind on the health reform and in the work of preparation generally. There seemed to be among this people a want of the order and efficiency necessary to prosperity in the work and spirit of the message. Brother Andrews, however, visited them 3 weeks later and enjoyed a good season with them. I will not pass over a matter of encouragement to me that a very pointed testimony which I had written to one family was received with profit to the persons addressed. We still feel a deep interest in that family and ardently desire that they might enjoy prosperity in the Lord, and although we feel some discouragement as to the cause in Gratiot County, we shall be anxious to help the brethren when they feel anxious to be helped. At the Alma meeting, there were brethren present from St. Charles and Tittabawassee, Saginaw County, who urged us to visit them. We had not designed to enter this county at present, but to visit Tuscola County, if the way opened. Not hearing from Tuscola, we decided to visit Tittabawassee, and meantime write to Tuscola County and inquire if we were wanted there. At Tittabawassee, we were happily disappointed to find a large house of worship, recently built by our people, well filled with Sabbath keepers. The brethren seemed ready for our testimony, and we enjoyed freedom. A great and good work had been done in this place through the faithful labors of Brother A. Much bitter opposition and persecution had followed, but this seemed to melt away with those who came to hear, and our labors seemed to make a good impression upon all. I attended 11 meetings in this place in 1 week, spoke several times from 1 to 2 hours, and took part in the other meetings. At one meeting, an effort was made to induce certain ones who observed the Sabbath to move forward and take up the cross. The duty before most of these was baptism. In my last vision, I saw places where the truth would be preached and bring out churches, which we should visit. This was one of those places. I felt a peculiar interest for this people. The cases of certain ones in the congregation opened before me, and a spirit of labor for them came upon me, which I could not throw off. For about 3 hours I labored for them, most of the time appealing to them with feelings of the deepest solicitude. All took the cross on that occasion and came forward for prayers, and nearly all spoke. The next day, 15 were baptized. No one can visit this people without being impressed with the value of Brother A's faithful labors in this cause. His work is to enter places where the truth has not been proclaimed, and I hope our people will cease their efforts to draw him from his specific work. In the spirit of humility, he can go forth, leaning upon the arm of the Lord, and rescue many souls from the powers of darkness. May the blessing of God still be with him. As our series of meetings in this place was near its close, Brother Spooner of Tuscola came for us to visit that county. We sent appointments by him as he returned on Monday, and we followed on Thursday after the baptism. At Vassar, we held our meeting Sabbath and first day at the Union Schoolhouse. This was a free place in which to speak, and we saw good fruit of our labors. first day afternoon, about 30 backsliders and children who had made no profession came forward. This was a very interesting and profitable meeting. Some were drawing back from the cause, for whom we especially felt to labor. But the time was short, and it seemed to me that we should leave the work unfinished. But our appointments were out for St. Charles and Alma, and to meet them we must close our labors in Vassar on Monday. That night, what I had seen in vision concerning certain persons in Tuscola County was revived in a dream, and I was still more impressed that my work for that people was not done. Yet I saw no other way only to go to our appointments. Tuesday, we journeyed 32 miles to St. Charles and stopped for the night with Brother Griggs. Here, I wrote 15 pages of testimony and attended meeting in the evening. Wednesday morning, we decided to return to Tuscola if Brother Andrews would fill the appointment at Alma. To this, he agreed. That morning, I wrote 15 pages more, attended a meeting and spoke 1 hour, and we rode 33 miles with Brother and Sister Griggs to Brother Spooner's in Tuscola. Thursday morning, we went to Watrousville, a distance of 16 miles. I wrote 16 pages and attended an evening meeting in which I gave a very pointed testimony to one present. The next morning, I wrote 12 pages before breakfast and returned to Tuscola and wrote 8 pages more. Sabbath, my husband spoke in the forenoon, and I followed for 2 hours before taking food. The meeting was then closed for a few moments, and I took a little food, and afterwards spoke in a social meeting for 1 hour, bearing pointed testimonies for several present. These testimonies were generally received with feelings of humility and gratitude. I cannot, however, say that all were so received. The next morning, as we were about to leave for the house of worship to engage in the arduous labors of the day, a sister for whom I had a testimony that she lacked discretion and caution and did not fully control her words and actions, came in with her husband and manifested feelings of great unreconciliation and agitation. She commenced to talk and to weep. She murmured a little and confessed a little and justified self considerably. She had a wrong idea of many things I had stated to her. Her pride was touched as I brought out her faults in so public a manner. Here was evidently the main difficulty. But why should she feel thus? The brethren and sisters knew these things were so, therefore I was not informing them of anything new, but I doubt not that it was new to the sister herself. She did not know herself, and could not properly judge of her own words and acts. This is in a degree true of nearly all. Hence the necessity of faithful reproofs in the church and the cultivation by all its members of love for the plain testimony. Her husband seemed to feel unreconciled to my bringing out her faults before the church, and stated that if Sister White had followed the directions of our Lord in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, he should not have felt hurt. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the whole church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. My husband then stated that he should understand that these words of our Lord had reference to cases of personal trespass and could not be applied in the case of this sister. She had not trespassed against Sister White, but that which had been reproved publicly was public wrongs which threatened the prosperity of the church and the cause. Here, said my husband, is a text applicable to the case. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. The brother acknowledged his error like a Christian and seemed reconciled to the matter. It was evident that since the meeting of Sabbath afternoon, they had got many things about the matter wonderfully magnified and wrong. It was therefore proposed that the written testimony be read. When this was done, the sister who was reproved by it inquired, "Is that what you stated yesterday?" I replied that it was. She seemed surprised and quite reconciled to the written testimony. This I gave her, without reserving a copy. Here I did wrong. But I had such tender regard for her and her husband, and such ardent desires and hopes for their prosperity, that, in this case, I broke over an established custom. Already meeting time was passing, and we hastened 1.5 miles to the waiting congregation. The reader may judge whether the scene of that morning was well adapted to aid us in the collection of thought and nerve necessary to stand before the people. But who thinks of this? Some may, and show a little mercy, while the impulsive and careless will come with their burdens and trials, generally just before we are to speak, or when perfectly exhausted by speaking. My husband, however, summoned all his energies, and by request spoke with freedom on the law and the gospel. I had received an invitation to speak in the afternoon in the new house of worship recently built and dedicated by the Methodists. This commodious building was crowded, and many were obliged to stand. I spoke with freedom for about 1.5 hours upon the first of the 2 great commandments repeated by our Lord, and was surprised to learn that it was the same from which the Methodist minister had spoken in the forenoon. He and his people were present to hear what I had to say. In the evening, we had a precious interview at Brother Spooner's with Brethren Miller, Hatch, and Haskell, and Sisters Sturgis, Bliss, Harrison, and Malin. We now felt that our work for the present time was done in Tuscola County. We became very much interested in this dear people, yet feared that the sister referred to, for whom I had a testimony, would let Satan take advantage of her and cause them trouble. I felt an earnest desire that she might view the matter in its true light. The course she had been pursuing was destroying her influence in the church and outside of it. But now, if she would receive the needed reproof, and humbly seek to improve by it, the church would take her anew into their hearts, and the people would think more of her Christianity. And what is better still, she could enjoy the approving smiles of her dear Redeemer. Would she fully receive the testimony? Was my anxious inquiry. I feared that she would not, and that the hearts of the brethren in that county would be saddened on her account. After returning home, I sent to her for a copy of the testimony, and on the 15th of April received the following, dated at Denmark, April 11, 1868. Sister White, yours of the 23rd ultimo is at hand. Am sorry I cannot comply with your request. I shall still cherish the tenderest feelings of regard for this family, and shall be happy to help them when I can. It is true that such treatment from those for whom I give my life casts a shade of sadness over me, but my course has been so plainly marked out for me that I cannot let such things keep me from the path of duty. As I returned from the post office with the above note, feeling rather depressed in spirit, I took the Bible and opened it with the prayer that I might find comfort and support therein, and my eye rested directly upon the following words of the prophet, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. We returned home from this tour just before a great fall of rain which carried off the snow. This storm prevented the next Sabbath meeting, and I immediately commenced to prepare matter for testimony number 14. We also had the privilege of caring for our dear brother King, whom we brought to our home with a terrible injury upon the head and face. We took him to our house to die, for we could not think it possible for one with the skull so terribly broken in to recover. But with the blessing of God upon a very gentle use of water, a very spare diet till the danger of fever was past, and well-ventilated rooms day and night, in 3 weeks he was able to return to his home and attend to his farming interests. He did not take one grain of medicine from first to last. Although he was considerably reduced by loss of blood from the wounds and by spare diet, yet when he could take a more liberal amount of food, he came up rapidly. About this time, we commenced labor for our brethren and friends near Greenville. As in the case in many places, our brethren needed help. There were some who kept the Sabbath, yet did not belong to the church, and also some who had given up the Sabbath, who needed help. We felt disposed to help these poor souls, but the past course and present position of leading members of the church in relation to these persons made it almost impossible for us to approach them. In laboring with the erring, some of our brethren had been too rigid, too cutting in remarks, and when some were disposed to reject their counsel and separate from them, they would say, "Well, if they want to go off, let them go." While such a lack of the compassion and long-suffering and tenderness of Jesus was manifested by his professed followers, these poor, erring, inexperienced souls, buffeted by Satan, were certain to make shipwreck of faith. However great may be the wrongs and sins of the erring, our brethren must learn to manifest not only the tenderness of the great shepherd, but also his undying care and love for the poor, straying sheep. Our ministers toil and lecture week after week, and rejoice that a few souls embrace the truth. And yet brethren of a prompt, decided turn of mind may, in 5 minutes, destroy their work by indulging the feelings which prompt words like these, "Well, if they want to leave us, let them go."